We have several selections, so bear with me as I change pages. First selection is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And our second selection is 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I'm not a professional here. Hebrews 4:12, just the beginning of that. And that is, for the word of God is living and active. And number four, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And last is Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is the word of God.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its stories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Pray it in. Read it through, live it out, and pass it on.
Is this thing working? We just changed mics. Do we need to pray about this? Do you want me to use the handheld? Use the handheld? Okay.
The enemy must be upset that we're honoring God's holy word. Amen?
And we can expect interference from him. Lord, get him out of here in the name of Jesus. Okay. and send your powerful angels in here with us, Lord. I want to talk about this book. I've been doing a series on the most important topics in Christianity, and this is right up there at the top, okay? The most amazing book in the universe. In the universe. There's no other book like it. It was written over 1,500 years by over 40 different authors, and yet the same theme goes through it all. 66 books, 39 in the Jewish scriptures and 27 in the Christian scriptures. We begin in chapter 2 of Genesis with the river of life, and we end in Revelation 22 at the very end with the river of life. I brought these scriptures up today that I want to just talk a little bit about. The first one from Paul. All scripture is God-breathed. Just as God breathed into the dirt and made us, put the breath of life into the Adama, which is the Hebrew word for ground, the Ruach, that's Hebrew for breath, Ruach, sounds like breath, doesn't it, kind of? God breathed into this book, and it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And the rest of that verse is so that we'll be equipped for every good work, to equip us, you and I, for every good deed and every good work. Peter, you remember that guy, don't you? Remember Peter? The guy that denied Jesus 3 times, remember? Ran off. Then got filled with the Holy Ghost. Preached the first sermon, led 3,000 people to Christ. He writes, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." No human being designed to write this book. Just as at the beginning of after our second song this morning, you heard people speak as they were impressed by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's kind of how it worked with these holy men who wrote the scriptures. They were moved to do that by the Spirit of God. It was not their will that was involved. It was God's Spirit. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." It's a supernatural book. There's no other book like it in the universe. Supernatural, living, alive. And it's God's love letter. Maybe if you're like me, you've had times when you've thought, gee, I wish God would just tell me what he wants me to do. You ever had times like that? He did. He wrote you a love letter of 66 books that you need to engage. It's live. We have the next slide. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You know, the pattern of this world is conformed to who? Satan. When you read the papers, when you watch the news, the majority of what you read and see and that happens around us every day is conformative to him, not to the Lord. All the evil and the heartache on this planet. But we should not be conformed to that. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way we can do that is to engage the mind of God here.
This is His mind. And as we engage it supernaturally, our minds become conformed to the Lord and pulled away from the God of this world, the enemy. Paul would travel throughout the Mediterranean. Just amazing what he did in the first century. Just absolutely amazing how he got around and basically evangelized the entire Mediterranean. And he would always begin by going to a Jewish synagogue because he was a person of stature. He had a PhD. He had been a Pharisee. He'd been in the inner circle. He was an impressive guy. He was a Roman citizen. He was highly educated. And he would show up at the Jewish synagogues first. And he would try to evangelize them. And he would get, he was met by, you know, various responses. But the one church that he commended were the Bereans. Up in northern Greece, close to Thessalonica. And they were different from everybody else. Because they would listen to him eagerly. And then they would take and examine the scriptures to see if what he said was true. They didn't just take it. And I want to challenge all of you. Don't ever take anything I say here as being true. You take it and you examine it against this. And if it doesn't match up with this, don't believe it, please. Please. This is our rule right here. And I don't always get it right. And Paul doesn't always get it right either. So they would examine the scriptures to see if it was true. They were noble. And they didn't have a book like this to pull out when they did it. Okay? They had to pull out scroll number, 25, okay, and roll the thing out. By the way, I failed to mention that all the writers of Scripture were Jewish except one. There was one non-Jewish writer. Anybody know his name? Luke, who, by the way, wrote the single biggest piece of the New Testament, Luke and Acts, the only book of history we have of the New Testament, was written by a physician, non-Jewish physician. Interesting, isn't it? This, as I mentioned to the kids this morning, my time with this book began with Sunday school. My folks would take me to Sunday school, like Ramey's got next door, and that was my exposure. And in the third grade, I lied to get this book. And it was nice, and for a nine-year-old boy, it was leather bound. It had my name on it in gold, and I really wanted one of those. So, I convinced both of my Sunday school teachers that I had memorized the scriptures. I think it was like the 23rd Psalm and the Ten Commandments and, I don't know, the Lord's Prayer or something. And I had each teacher sign it off for the other. Pretty clever, huh? And then they called me up in front of the church. This was in Yakima, Washington. It was an Episcopal church. And they presented this Bible to me, and it was the first time in my life that I felt the conviction of God. And I heard the Lord say to me, "What have you done?" And I remember slinking back to my seat and feeling just as low as you could feel and looking up and saying, "God, I will pay you back for this. I will read this book." And you know, when you make those kind of promises to God, you may forget them. But God never does, and He will collect. 11 years later, I was a student at the University of Washington and philosophy major, and
And my professors were making fun of this book, so I decided I'd read it. And I went back to my mom and dad's house and picked it up. It was my first sermon here in January. If you can listen to the whole sermon, I talk about my testimony. And took it home and began to read it, started in Matthew, and was convicted that Jesus was the Christ, and gave my life to him. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about prayer. And there's a story that goes with this. But I wound up on a Friday night at Bill Gothard's Basic Youth Conflicts. Anybody ever heard of Bill Gothard, Basic Youth? Okay, he used to travel around the country and had these great big things. He had it in Seattle Arena. There was, I don't know, 15,000 people there. And I happened to be there on a Friday night. I'll tell the story more next week, how I got there. And it was the night where Bill asks for people to make a five-minute commitment to read the Bible every day. And I had just met the Lord, and I made that commitment that night to read the Bible for 5 minutes a day. Do you remember that talk on Friday night, Chuck? And it was with his Chalk Talk. Remember that? Those of you who were at Bill Gothard? And that 5 minutes has taken me through this book many, many, many times. It's amazing with just 5 minutes. Of course, it's hard to just read this for 5 minutes. But I begin my day with it every day. Physical fitness and reading the Bible and talking to God. If I don't do it at the beginning of the day, I never get back to it. And so for me, I'm a morning person. I got to get up and I got to do it first thing. I spend time with the Lord first and then I work out. Of course, that's when I work on my sermons too, by the way, is when I'm working out. And I got an NIV, which is the Bible that... the New International Version, so one we have here. Although there's a newer version of that right now that I'm not sure I like as much as that one. I mark it up. I write notes. Don't be afraid to mark your Bibles up. Circle things, you know, underline. Sometimes I'll memorize a piece. Right now I'm going through Psalms. I'm reading Psalms. But what I recommend is if you've never done this before is that you... pick one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Mark is the shortest. Pick that one. Read a chapter a day. Then move to Acts. That's the book of history of the New Testament, first 30 years. Then the letters by various people. Paul wrote most of them. And then finally, the book of prophecy of the New Testament, which is Revelation. Now, don't start there. Okay? All right, a lot of people want to jump there right away. Don't do that. And don't go and try to start in the Old Testament first. Get a handle on the New Testament before you start on the Old Testament. Okay? Now, I want to end today by asking you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want to ask if some of you would be willing to make that commitment that I made over 41 years ago to read the Bible for 5 minutes a day. And this is not a commitment to me. This is a commitment to the Lord. And if you're willing to make that commitment to the Lord to read the Bible for 5 minutes a day, would you raise your hand and just say, Lord, I'll make that commitment. I see a lot of hands that are lifted up, a lot of hands. Thanks be to God. And just pray with me, Lord Jesus, help me to read your word for 5 minutes a day. Remind me, Lord, and show me how to do it and speak to me through it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.